I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, to Luke chapter 17. And you know, one of the things that I don't want us to do is to just blow past Thanksgiving. This past week, on Tuesday morning, as we do every week, several men, about 17, I think, this last week, gathered to pray in the foyer here, praying for our church, praying for the needs of our congregation, and other things that come to mind. And so after we pray, we go eat, because that's the Baptist way. It's written in the Bible. So we went across the street to Hy-Vee, as is our custom. And somebody remarked as we were walking into Hy-Vee that all the ghosts, the goblins, the dragons, and everything that were outside Hy-Vee, they were all gone, only replaced by Christmas wreaths. And I'm sure that there are going to be a lot more Christmas decorations, not just a few wreaths that are going to go up over there. And so when you walk inside, you saw a display of ugly Christmas sweaters, which I told John I might buy him one. I might not either, but you move. Here's the thing. We move from Halloween to Christmas, and yet I really am convinced that one of the greatest days of the year, one of the most awesome times of the year, is the time when we stop to give thanks. I don't want to run past Thanksgiving. I don't want to be distracted by all the blessings that God pours upon us that we do not take the time to just say, Lord, I thank you. And I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for how God has poured his Spirit out upon us, how he has blessed us all the course of over all these years, and how good he's been to us. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful this morning to be able to get into baptistry and baptize people, two people that have come to know Christ as their Savior. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that after all of these years, I can still have the strength and the energy to be able to open God's Word and to preach God's Word, and I'm thankful for that. I sat in a tree stand yesterday morning because I had to do it, and killed a deer because he asked for it. And so I am thankful for that. I was actually texting Jonathan, who did not kill anything. I was texting him saying, you know, as I sat there, the sun came up on one horizon, and then later in the day, I watched the sun go down the other horizon, and I just said, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the health. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for the joy. I'm grateful to live in this country that our veterans have helped us have to this day. I am grateful to live in the state of Missouri. I really am, where they know how to count ballots. And you can get a vote tabulated. I'm thankful for that. I am just thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife who encouraged me to wear this suit. I am thankful for so many things, and God is good to me. Not very many people get the privilege of pastoring a group of people like you are. I mean, it means I've got my work cut out for me until the day I die, and I'm very, very thankful for that. But I don't want to, I want us to remember this morning, that it is easy in the middle of all of our blessings to be distracted. Have you ever been distracted by your blessings? Don't be distracted by this blessing this morning. Our praise and thanksgiving and our honor and glory all goes to our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 17 at verse 11. And the Bible says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went that they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except for this one stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This is a wonderful story, one that we're very familiar with. But I think it's a very appropriate story for this time of year. It's an appropriate time for every time of year. Because sometimes we forget to remember. I'm not talking about the onset of any form of dementia. If that's the case, then most of America probably has it. Because we forget to remember. I'm just simply saying that sometimes we get so caught up in the excitement of our blessings that we are distracted from thanking the blesser. We are so full of joy because of our healing, we forget to go back to the healer and say, "Thank you so much." We're so full of what it means to be saved that we forget to say thank you to the Savior. And truthfully, that is what I find when I look at this passage of Scripture. They were so excited that they forgot someone very important in the middle of all their excitement. It's not our intention to be ungrateful, just sometimes we are. I don't know there's any child at Christmas time that's so caught up in the experience underneath the Christmas tree that they ever really intended to not be thankful for what they have, but just sometimes they are. And we adults are the very same way. We just forget to remember. Leprosy is a terrible disease. I looked it up in my Strong's Exhaustive Concordance to find that there is no mention of leprosy until you get to the book of Leviticus. And in the book of Leviticus, it begins to talk about how that a house could have leprosy. Well, I think we know something about that. We know something about it because I think it's called black mold. And some of you in this building have experienced it and have had to move out of your house. And sometimes a house has to be totally destroyed just simply because of a black mold situation. And in the Old Testament, it was said that if a house was found to be leprous, it begins by tearing the whole thing apart, scattering it all together, covering it up with lime, and the priest has to look at this thing, by the way, and render judgment. And if a person becomes leprous, it may begin with a full head of dark hair that suddenly has a white spot in it. Now, I can totally identify with this because you all know that I have alopecia areata. Do you all know that? I'm not speaking in tongues. Alopecia areata is really what's called abnormal spotty hair loss. And so years and years and years ago, when I was in seminary, I started losing my hair. I go to a doctor, it's caused by stress. Finally, I went to a dermatologist who diagnosed me as having alopecia areata. Spotty hair loss, and so they tried everything. I've had all kinds of steroid shots, that's why I have the body that I have today. And I have tried all kinds of treatments. I tried topical things. I was used as a guinea pig up at the University of Missouri when some of you remember when I had this real weird hair pattern, and I mean, it wasn't weird like Charles Stanley's comb over. It was just weird looking. And so I tried that. I went to the University of Missouri. They injected something in my scalp so that when I rubbed a certain solution on, it broke out like I had poison ivy. And so my head just leaked and stuck to the pillow, and it was nasty stuff, folks. It was nasty. And finally, there was a lady in our church who said, "Well, I used to cut hair, and college students, when they had a lot of stress, sometimes they would lose their hair, and we came up with a concoction of cayenne pepper and vodka." And I said, "Well, you know, I've tried everything, but I'm not going to do that. I am not going to go to aisle 11 and come up," It didn't seem to bother her a bit. So she got a mixture of cayenne pepper and vodka, brought it to me. I rubbed it on my head topically. I rubbed it on my head. They wrote a song about it called "Come On Baby, Light My Fire." But it does not grow hair. So I just drank what was left in the bottle and didn't worry about it. But I think really, had I lived in the days of the Bible, I would have been diagnosed with leprosy. And leprosy that would have start something like that would eventually come to the place where people would lose their nose, literally lose their nose, physically lose their nose, lose their ears, all different kinds of maladies. If you've ever watched the old movie Ben-Hur, then there's a description there of when Ben-Hur's mother and sister are taken away to what's called a separate house where they have to live. They're kind of down away from everybody, shut off from everybody else, and that's where they're living when Ben-Hur returns. If you've ever watched the movie with Mel Gibson in it, Braveheart. Is that right? That one. Then you know that there's a guy in there whose father is some kind of a lord, and his body is so distressed. This is what happened in this particular case. So these ten men have been driven away from their home, driven away from their family, just driven away, living in a separate house. And now one day Jesus comes to town, and they follow him, the Bible says, afar off, and they begin to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us." There's no other hope for healing. There's no way they can get any relief. So they're just crying out to Jesus to have mercy. They can't live with their families. They can't worship at the synagogue. Their career is set aside. They will live their whole days at a distance. And what they need was mercy. No cure. If you thought there was evidence of healing, then the law said you would present yourself to a priest who could pronounce you clean. So you can well imagine what emotions would well up in you as the thought of being clean. As they went, the Bible says, as they went, they were clean. They went on as they had been told. All but one went on to the priest, but one returned to the source of his healing. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in a sermon called Where Are the Nine, made these four statements. He said, "There are more who receive benefits than ever give praise for them. The number of those who pray is greater than the number of those who praise. More obey ritual than praise the Lord. And there are more that believe than there are that praise." Look at this text. This is what it says. Here's 10 people that receive benefits, but only one went back to say thank you. There are 10 people that call out for mercy, but only one of them goes back to offer praise to the Lord Jesus. There are 10 people that make their way on toward the priest so that he could say, "Yes, I see the leprosy is gone, you're clean." But there was only one of those 10 that turned back to give praise unto the Lord. There were 10 of them that believed that they were healed, but only one of them returned to thank the Lord. It was as they were going that they were healed. Naaman was another person in the Old Testament, described in 2 Kings, who had to go down into the muddy Jordan River 7 times. It was as he was going down for the 7th time that he was cleansed of his leprosy. This morning I want to set before you 4 very simple truths that come out of this passage. Number 1, do not let distractions keep you from coming to Christ. Do not let distractions keep you from coming to Christ. We've been talking about fatal distractions. Well, these men could have. There were 10 of them, and they understood the full weight of their illness. It was pressing down on them, and they had been told that there was no hope for their healing. And if you're living a life that thinks there's no hope, I can never get any better, it's never going to be any better, then you would know that that is a distraction. And every day, when they went to draw water, or every day when they had to go to town, they had to stay way away from everybody because of this disease that they had that was so contagious, and that was a distraction. And even on this very day, the crowd of people who followed Jesus wherever he went had let them know that they were not welcome. In fact, wherever they went, they had to cover their mouth and they had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" So that everybody knew they were lepers. They didn't want to give it to anyone else. They didn't want anyone else to suffer the same thing that they had suffered. They were unclean. They were untouchable, and they knew it. By the way, I only find in God's word where there was one person that ever touched a leper, and his name was Jesus. You may even think that your sin is so great today and your distress is so terrible today and you have such a need for mercy in your life and that there's no one, you're an absolute untouchable. Well, there's not one person in this building today or listening today that is beneath the touch of our Lord Jesus Christ. God knows no untouchables. Everybody is touchable to Jesus. They saw in Jesus their only source of hope, and just like some of you this morning, I can tell you that Jesus is your only source of hope. They had been to doctors, they had tried everything, but today the healer was coming to town. So at a great distance, they began to call out to the Lord. To me, it's an interesting thing that they didn't ask for healing. They asked for mercy. Look at the text. Look at verse 13. They lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They didn't say, Lord Jesus, would you heal us from the leprosy? They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have you ever felt the need for mercy? Well, the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It is when I come to the place where I understand my sins were as scarlet. When I come to the place I understand my sins were red as crimson. When I came to the place that I understood that my sin was condemning me and separating me from God. When I came to the place where I felt like I was at a point in my life where there was no way out. Then that's when Jesus shows up with his mercy. Don't be distracted. Don't let your distractions keep you from coming to Jesus. When you come to Jesus for mercy, there are people here today who cannot ask for what they really need. They don't even know what they really need, but you can ask for mercy and trust the doctor that has the power to heal to diagnose your case. You may have just come in here this morning with a weight, a burden that is pressed down upon you and said, something's wrong with my life. I don't even know what it is. I don't know why I react this way. I don't know why I act this way. I don't know why I say it this way. But you are so pressed down with the burden of your life. Don't let any of those things distract you from coming to Christ. Then I would say this. Don't let distractions keep you from obeying Christ. It's one thing to let distractions keep you from coming to Christ, but when you hear the Word of God, when you hear Christ speak into your life, when Jesus says something, don't let distractions keep you from obeying Christ. Look in verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. It was a simple matter of obedience. Some people do get distracted from doing what he says to do. The lepers, the Bible says, went on their way, and you notice, and this is an amazing thing, I don't think I'd ever noticed it before reading the text this week, and that is that they did not get cleansed while they were standing in the presence of Jesus. They were cleansed when they obeyed Jesus. It is as they went their way to show themselves to the priest, which was prescribed in the book of Leviticus. You go show yourself to the priest. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And I think about the time that they left to go show themselves to the priest. They were still lepers. I mean, do you see that? Can you get that? You see, there are sometimes people say, I don't see a whole lot of evidence in my life, and I don't see, but you know, the truth is you've not fully obeyed the Lord. You say, I called on him, but I don't see a lot of evidence. I don't see a lot of change. Well, you've got something to do with that too. And you've got some obedience in your life that needs to come along, and you don't need to be distracted from following the Lord through obedience. In the New Testament, obedience follows confession. Obedience follows repentance. And so, for instance, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is a verse that's often quoted. The King James Version says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Well, it doesn't mean that repenting and baptism, it doesn't mean that that baptism causes the sin to be forgiven. It is an evidence that it has taken place. Repent and be baptized because you have been forgiven. You see, what is baptism? Baptism is a step of obedience to follow Christ. All across our country, there are less and less churches that are giving invitations because people are less and less responding to invitations. And so some have come and said, well, we're not going to give invitations anymore because we don't seem to see a lot of people responding and our culture has changed and all of that. But here's what I want you to know. When the Lord Jesus says come, or when the Lord Jesus says go, if you are serious about it and you have any faith at all, you're going to obey him. And that's, I know that when I came to know the Lord a long time ago, I didn't get saved when I walked down an aisle, and I didn't get saved when I took the preacher by the hand and told him what was going on. I got saved when I took that very first step. And I kind of see these men as the Lord says, I want you to go show yourself to the priest. And they took a first step of obedience. And it was as they were going, suddenly one of them said, well, brother, you look different. Well, brother, you look different. And they began to look at their hands and they wanted to see a mirror because they couldn't have believed that suddenly they'd been healed, totally healed of this thing called leprosy. There are a number of people that repent and get distracted. They never unite with a local church. They never pass through the waters of baptism. They never get in a small group. They never forsake the very things that would help them grow in their walk with the Lord, that would give them confidence, that would be a seal upon their heart. They forsake those things, and then they wonder, why do I always go through life with doubts? The call of the Lord is to follow the Lord. Do not be distracted from coming to Christ. Do not be distracted from obeying Christ. Do not let distractions keep you from returning to Christ. One of them, look in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice. He glorified God. I think all of us would like to think, had I been there that day, I would have been one of them that turned back. Because I am so thankful, I am so very, 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 very thankful for the forgiveness that the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. I am so very, very thankful for his grace that continues to be poured out in my life. I have so much to be thankful for. I would have been one that would have not been distracted. I would have turned back and said, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. His purpose in turning back was just to give thanks. I don't take this to mean that the others were not grateful, because I happen to think they were. But returning to Jesus was not the first thing that came to their mind. Let me go to the priest and let me get home. I want to see my family. Go to the priest, go see my family. I want to go to the priest, I want to check on my business. I want to go to the priest, I want to eat a cheeseburger. I think there are a lot of different things that came to mind, but the truth was, there was one that was not distracted. To him, it seemed to be the very reasonable thing to do to go back and thank him. There are times in our lives when God has done wonderful things, monumental things. And when we pass those anniversary dates, or when we pass those places where those events happened, we just want to go back and thank the Lord. I can imagine these 10 men, not just the one, but the 10, the other 9 as well. I wonder what thoughts came to their heart when word began to spread that the one who had healed them had been crucified. I wonder what they thought about when they began to hear the word 3 days later that the one who had been crucified had been raised from the dead. I wonder how many of that group that were touched by Jesus would eventually seek him out. Maybe some of them were even gathered together there on the Mount of Olives when Jesus ascended to his Father in heaven. I wonder if perhaps this clean man, this one leper, would return to this spot where standing on a street corner one day, or maybe entering into a little village one day, he'd cried out for mercy, Lord, mercy. And Jesus had responded with mercy. And I think maybe every time he went past that spot, he said in his heart, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you." I wonder if the same thing wouldn't have happened with Jairus, whose little daughter was dead and Jesus raised her from the dead. I wonder if there was ever a time when he passed that spot where he had encountered Jesus Christ, but what he didn't think, this was the spot, this was the place where I came to the Lord. I think about Bartimaeus standing outside of Jericho crying out, "Jesus, Savior, have mercy on me." And as Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem to be crucified, I wonder if there was ever a time when Bartimaeus didn't think about that day when Jesus had mercy on him. I wonder if Magdalene ever got over the fact, Mary Magdalene, of what Jesus had done to save her soul. Nicodemus would never forget that night where he had encountered Jesus Christ in the middle of the night. Or Matthew, when Jesus passed by a seat of customs and said, "Come." And Peter, when he and James and John and Andrew and all of them were gathered together there, Jesus said, "First call to them and said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Every time they returned to that place, it was thanksgiving. Every time I return to the place where I met the Lord, where he forgave me of my sins, it is thanksgiving all over again. So I've never lost the wonder of that. I want to return to that. I want to go back to that. I don't want to be distracted from following, from calling on Christ, coming to Christ. I don't want to be distracted from obeying Christ. I don't want to be distracted from returning to Christ. And I don't want to be distracted from following Christ. Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." I'm reminded of another man across the Sea of Galilee in Gadara, possessed with demons. He was made whole and he wanted to follow Jesus. And to him Jesus said, "Go home and tell what has happened to you." You see, in his going home to tell people what had happened to him, in fact, that's what he was doing. He was following Jesus. To come and follow Jesus didn't necessarily mean to walk along with the disciples as they followed the Lord. That was part of what they did, but it was just sometimes the following of the Lord is to go home and live a different life while you're at home. Go home and tell what good things he's done for you. The vast majority of people who follow Jesus never go anywhere but go home. They love their spouses, they love their children, they love their church. Their everyday life, they're giving thanks to the Lord. And that's what he's asking us to do. Not to forget to remember. Not to be so distracted by all the blessings that he's poured upon us that we forget to say, "Thank you, Lord." I heard of a man who was having a surgical procedure to restore his sight. And when asked what was the first thing he wanted to see when his sight was restored, he said, "I want to see the doctor who gave me my sight." I think that's why our focus when we think about heaven and all that lies beyond, the first thing that we want to see is the one who gave us our sight, who took us out of darkness and put us in the light, who took us out of death and put us in the life. We want to see the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate price for us, because throughout all eternity, eternity is going to be one big Thanksgiving day of giving glory to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted from coming to Christ. There's some of you this morning that have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the call of God in your life is that you need to come to Him. You need to call out to Him, "Jesus, Savior, have mercy on me." I don't know of anybody that ever cried to Him for mercy but what they received it. And then if you've cried to Him for mercy and you want Him to have mercy on you, then the next thing to do is to obey Him and thank Him and follow Him. I want to ask you to bow your head with me this morning. You're here because you sense a need. You've come today to this place of worship because you realize that there is one that is worthy of worship enough for you to get out of bed and come and join this congregation together to worship Him. You realize in Jesus there is one who has the answer to what your problem in life is. He's a wonderful Savior. When He calls you, it requires obedience on your part. So when He says, come unto me, then you need to come unto Him. When He says, follow me, then you need to follow Him. And some of you this morning have in your own heart said, well, yes, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to call out to Jesus, but you've never followed Him through obedience. You've not followed, some of you have never followed Him in believer's baptism, and it's time that you did that. Some of you know that you need a church home. That's part of following Christ and obeying Him, but you've not done anything about making a church home. And so today, if God is saying to you that Concord is where you need to be, then you just ought to obey Him this morning. You need to, as we give this invitation, step out and come. We've got someone that'll pray with you and help point you in the right direction. But for all of us, don't run past Thanksgiving in the rush to get to Christmas. Remember to give thanks. Father in heaven, we praise You this morning. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done in our life, for the forgiveness we have from our sin, for the grace that You have poured upon us. You are such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And may there never be a day that passes that we, at least in our minds, do not go back to that spot where our life was changed, and we can simply say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've done in our lives. And Lord, may we obey You. May we follow You. May we be disciples of Yours. May we continue to live a life of thanksgiving. I pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.